All right, we're here with Pastor Jeff Hubing, and we're finishing up this series on this mysterious gift of speaking in tongues. And in this last lesson, we're going to answer this question, is speaking in tongues for me?
Before I even get into the question of how a person could go about speaking in tongues or pursuing that, I want to make a point, and that is that if you don't speak in tongues, I don't want you to feel that there's any kind of judgment or any kind of negative sentiment that should be coming your way by others. When I was growing up, I feel like there were two options if a person didn't speak in tongues. Number one is that there would be a conclusion that says, well, then it's not for me. And, you know, I didn't grow up doing that, and so it's not something that I'm supposed to have. It only certain people should have that gift and not me. The other conclusion is sometimes that people will say, well, if God wants me to have that gift, then I don't have to worry about it. He'll just give it to me, and I shouldn't waste any time thinking about it or pursuing it. Well, I think both of those conclusions are mistaken. You know, Paul's teaching is to pursue the spiritual gifts, and the expectation is that he wishes all would speak in tongues. So I think there is a response that we can have that is both humble, gracious, accepting the reality that maybe we don't speak in tongues, but also encouraging, because there is the opportunity to pursue this good gift of God. So to those who don't speak in tongues, just a few quick points. First, you're not a second-class Christian. It's not a measure of your spiritual maturity. It's not even a measure of your intimacy with Jesus. So all of the Spirit's gifts are good, and you should not feel like some kind of inferior Christian believer if you haven't spoken in tongues. Second, I want to affirm that you can still be led in the Spirit to pray, even if you don't pray in tongues. Clearly, the Spirit is super creative, and He can speak to us many ways. And He can lead us in prayer in other ways besides just praying in tongues. So open your eyes and your ears and be sensitive to what God might want to encourage you about as you pray. Take time to listen and pray passionately and faithfully in terms of what you discern He might be saying. And third, I would consider this an invitation from the Lord to you, maybe to renew or to pursue a desire for tongues as an expression of the Spirit's grace towards you. I don't think God is a tease. I think if there's something in the Word that suggests that a good gift is for you, then it makes all the sense in the world to open yourself up to that gift. Jesus taught that if we ask for bread or fish, He's not going to give us a snake or a stone. And how much more will He give the Holy Spirit to the one who asks? So I want to encourage you today, understand you are a child of God, and you're in the family. And maybe there are new things for you in the Lord, and I want to encourage you to open your heart to whatever God has for you.
So what would that look like practically for someone who's finishing up this series, talking with their mentor or their small group about this, and they say, I want to do that. I want to seek this greater gift like Paul encourages us to do. What would that look like?
Great question. Let me give four, I think, practical bits of exhortation here. First of all, we have to remember speaking in tongues is a gift. God gives the ability to speak in tongues. I don't believe it's something where we just decide to start talking and hope that it has some kind of spiritual value. I do believe that something in us has to be in the position of receiving something from God, receiving a gift. And so there has to be an orientation, a disposition, where we really are looking to God to do something in us and through us. So we start there, by looking to Him. Second, even though it is a gift, I believe there still is a decision on the part of people to speak that is necessary. In other words, the Spirit must take the initiative. God has to give a gift. But the implications for me of the book of Acts, as well as 1 Corinthians, are that we he must also decide to speak. We have to open our mouths. The speech must come from our decision to cooperate, as it were, with what God's doing in our lives. A helpful parallel, I think, is the situation mentioned in 1 Corinthians with prophecy. People who prophesy in the New Testament, you're not expected to go into a trance or that their personality disappears and they get taken over as if they're not even there. No, Paul says the spirits of prophets are subject to prophets, meaning you have a word from God to give to others. You have to decide to give that word. You have to decide to speak that. And I think that speaking in tongues can be like this. You might sense something happening in your heart, something welling up within you. Many people have testimonies like this. The first time they ever spoke in tongues, they felt some joy or some sense or need to praise God, and they just didn't know what was going to come up. You know what? They had to open their mouth. They had to speak. And so I do believe there is a human response to the initiative that God takes. So he has to start it, but we're going to have to speak at some point. Third, I would encourage you to look at some of the passages of Scripture that emphasize the role that the laying on of hands may have in activating this gift. In a few different times in the book of Acts, the Spirit and his gifts were imparted to believers through the laying on of other believers' hands, sometimes through people of authority, like an apostle. In Acts 19, for instance, Paul lays his hands on a group of men and they receive the Spirit and speak in tongues. But for Paul himself, it wasn't an apostle that laid hands on him. It was just a regular disciple, a guy named Ananias, who in Acts 9 lays his hands on Paul, and then he receives the Holy Spirit. Now, to be sure, there are times when the Spirit simply comes upon folks without any help from people laying on of hands, like in Acts 10 at Cornelius' house. But you know what? I think the testimony of Scripture is that there can be value in asking others to pray for you, and to expect that maybe through that physical, tangible point of contact, maybe the Spirit's gifts will be released in your life. Finally, point four. Our speaking in tongues is a stewardship. And by that I mean, it's something we're given to take care of. For those who have spoken in tongues or who are looking to enter into this experience of God, I just want to encourage you from 1 Peter 4:10. It says, as each one has received a gift, and the word there is charisma in the original language. That means the same word used in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, a spiritual gift. As each one has received the spiritual gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards or caretakers of God's varied grace. I think it's important to realize that what God gives us, we have a responsibility to steward, to manage that, to care for it, and to use it in a way that blesses God and blesses others in the process.
So, Jeff, this was a powerful, challenging series, I'm sure, for many people. Any sort of last exhortation for people as we finish up this series?
Yeah, Brian, I think I would encourage folks to remember that we are children and God is an awesome, good and gracious Father. Folks disagree on this matter, and different churches and denominations handle it in different ways. Maybe what we could do is cultivate the kind of a mindset that we have, and like a disagreement among siblings at times. In my house, when my kids aren't getting along, I try to remind them of certain things. I remind them that I'm their father and I love them, and they're part of my family regardless. And I want them to be united. I want them to reconcile. I want them to try to trust each other and work together. And my heart in this would be to encourage folks to just really pursue the Lord and trust him. I believe in this gift, but that's coming from someone who's spoken in tongues for going on 30 years now. I don't have an axe to grind, or I don't want people who disagree with that to feel as though there's hostility or a feeling of needing to prove something behind it. I really want us all to taste and see that God is good and to really press into him for all the good things that he has for us. So although I would urge your listeners and readers to really test this out and examine the scriptures and trust God by pursuing this good gift. I also want to say, Brian, like, let's just concentrate as well on the other things that we share in common. Let's build together. There's a lot of work to be done and a lot of room for growth in the kingdom and for the benefit of the church. So I just thank you for the opportunity to help and serve and be a part of what you're all doing. And may the Lord really give grace to his people that we would honor Jesus together.